This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Let's talk cars. The 2019 Cincinnati Auto Expo is back for its 31st year at Duke Energy Center Wednesday through Sunday. It showcases the latest in the automotive world from the area's top domestic and import manufacturers. Greater Cincinnati Automobile Dealers Association Executive Vice President Charlie Howard joins us now to talk about it. Welcome, Charlie.
Michael, thanks for having me in. Great to be here.
So what can we expect this year at the car show?
Well, we're going to have about 250,000 square feet of cars, some of the latest, greatest that are in the market for everybody to take a look at. We're going to have a few older cars for people to look at and maybe reminisce a little bit as well.
Yeah, so this is the 31st year, so we're going all the way back to 1988.
In 1988.
Okay, so my first car, which I got in the late 90s, was actually a 1987 Honda Accord hatchback, had a cassette player and all that fun stuff. So I bet that was a pretty cool show back then. But over the three decades of changes to cars since then, what do you think stands out the most as a big difference between customers' preferences back in the 80s right. to what they want now?
Well, I think the biggest thing that stands out is the quality of the vehicles. I mean, in those days, in fact, last year for our 30th anniversary, we had two examples of 1988 vehicles. Michael, the first problem we had was we couldn't find examples of 1988 vehicles very well. They just didn't hold up. And today, the average vehicle on the road is almost 12 years old. And so you're seeing that quality in manufacturing and the ability of these cars to last. And it doesn't matter the manufacturer. And I think that's a huge change in over 30 years.
Well, let's talk about some of the technology. I think all these bells and whistles that are being added to cars is really something else. What are some of those new tech trends we're seeing in today's new cars?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is, and I like to refer to as the democratization of technology. A lot of this stuff comes out in the luxury lines. You know, we've got some of the luxury lines that have full steering assist where they will literally take you down the road almost like an autopilot for a period of time. It depends on the manufacturers, and there's some checks and balances on that, as you can imagine. But that's where we're headed. But, you know, things like lane keep assist that keeps you in the lane, lane departure that lets you know when you're moving left or right, the signals in your rearview mirrors that tell you there's somebody in your blind spot. Backup cameras, they're almost standard fare. You know, I talk about a backup camera now and everybody kind of shrugs their shoulder. But all of these kinds of things make these cars so much safer, so much easier to drive. And I certainly appreciate it when I'm going down I-75 and I-71 every night.
Yeah, so usually the thing that keeps you in your lane if you start to drift a little is that horrible rivet, that the divots that they have along the highway. So this is, what does it sound like? Like, does it make a noise or?
It does. It depends on the vehicle. Sometimes you'll have a flashing light on your dash. Sometimes the steering wheel will shake a little bit. And in some of the vehicles, it'll actually steer you back. So it depends on whether it's a lane assist or a lane keep, but all of those kinds of things are available, and like I said, you're seeing them in more introductory level vehicles. And so that's really where we're coming. It's the early stages of autonomous vehicles that we're experiencing now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about autonomous vehicles, but it sounds like while we're not quite there exactly, we've got a pretty solid co-pilot in our vehicle itself.
I think that's a good way to describe it. You know, they often describe autonomy as five levels. We're prop five being you get in the back seat with your Kindle and say, take me to grandma's, and 3 hours later, you've read your book and you're there. We're a long, long way from that. Probably decades. Even Waymo, which is a Google subsidiary, as most folks know, and they've been out front on this and testing for many, many years. And there's a couple of years ago, I looked it up, there was 33 or 35 companies in autonomy, and it's, I'm sure, much more than that now. The reality of it is driving is more complicated than we give it credit for, and so it's going to take some time to get there. So we're probably at about a level two on that level five stage. So we're headed there, but it's going to take a little more time.
So it's not as imminent as you might hear from some conversations about this topic.
We might have gotten out over our skis on that one just a little bit there, Michael. You know, look, it's exciting stuff. And I think in a laboratory setting, there's a lot of things you can do. But as we all know, downtown Cincinnati, I-71 is not exactly a laboratory. And it's very complicated. And humans respond in different and strange ways. And it's hard for the computer to grapple with all of that.
So I was looking at the most popular cars in America from last year. And you see a pretty good mix in that top 10 of, you see a few trucks, a few standard pickups.
Yep.
You see a few SUVs.
Yep.
And you see a few sedans that you would expect to see on there. So are we still seeing that there's a role for all those different sectors, or is one starting to pull away and dominate, or some becoming less popular?
Yeah, there's clearly a role for all of them, because we all have different needs and different functionalities. This is the first year, 2018, where the car segment was actually smaller than the truck, SUV, crossover, van segment. Almost 70% of the vehicles sold would qualify as a light-duty truck, a crossover, an SUV, or a van. The sedan market, which would be your compact, midsize, large, and luxury, that was just a tick under 30%.
So I drive a smart car. Are there any cars that are getting smaller than even that one that we'll see at the show?
Michael, that would be hard to imagine.
Some of us like little cars.
Nothing wrong with little cars. They're great to park. There's no question about that, especially if you live in Mount Adams.
That's for sure. One of the highlights of the Cincinnati Auto Expo includes the RV park. These vehicles, I mean, these are something a lot of people dream about owning. They're going to get an RV. They're going to drive across the country and have a great time. Some of these things are nicer than houses now. What are we going to see this year in this sector?
Well, it's a pretty small sector. It's an area that we've kind of dipped our toe into. Our friends from Rising Sun are there, but basically we usually have a larger RV, a fifth wheel type, and a smaller one. It's become a huge, huge segment, and as people have these SUVs, crossovers, and light-duty trucks, they're getting on the road, they're setting their GPS, and hey, the Holiday Inn is right behind them, right?
That's exactly right. So you're also going to have the opportunity for people to test drive some cars out there.
We do. That's been a really growing part of our show. We'll have 5 manufacturers there this year and 30 different vehicles to drive. So you can sign right up, absolutely no additional cost, wheel around downtown Cincinnati, and have your first real taste behind the wheel of those vehicles.
Are you driving alone, or does someone get in the car with you?
There's somebody from the manufacturer with you. So, but it's just like a test drive that you take at the dealership, but you're there with one of the manufacturer representatives.
You've also got the American Muscle Showcase. So some of the classics like the Mustang and the Camaro are going to be there. How do those models stay so popular? Even as we start to see more fuel efficiency in cars, these things are still popular.
They're fun. You know, part of it is it's the car you get to buy that maybe you didn't get to buy when you were 16. Part of it is maybe it's your neighbor had that car, but the other big part of it is if you've had a chance to ride in some of these vehicles, they're just raw. They don't ride as well as the new cars. They're noisy. They're a lot, but they're fun.
Yeah.
And people love them.
So it's the 31st year for the auto show in Cincinnati. What does the automotive industry mean to the local economy here in Greater Cincinnati?
Well, it's huge. It's huge. You know, we employ almost 8,000 people. We've got about $6 billion, $6.3 billion in retail sales. And you're talking about $300 million in local tax money, and the car dealers in the tri-state collect about 18% of the sales tax, and sales tax runs your community.
Charlie Howard is the Greater Cincinnati Automobile Dealers Association Executive Vice President. We're talking today about the 2019 Cincinnati Auto Expo, back for its 31st year, Wednesday through Sunday at the Duke Energy Center. You can learn more on the Cincinnati Expo on our site, wvxu.org. Charlie, thanks for coming in and talking cars today.
Michael, great meeting you. Thank you for having me in.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at wvxu.org.